from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo. We begin in San Diego, where the International Association of Chiefs of Police met for their annual conference. Terrence Cunningham is the president of the association. He gave a short yet historic speech, and he began by saying the vast majority of police officers, at their core, are noble and good people.
At the same time, however, it is also clear that the history of policing has had darker periods. There have been times when law enforcement officers, because of the laws enacted by federal, state, and local governments, have been the face of oppression to far too many of our fellow citizens.
Cunningham then formally apologized for police mistreatment of people of color. The organization has some 27,000 members from almost every police department in the country. We go now to Los Angeles, where that chanting you hear comes from about 100 adult film performers who marched in protest of Proposition 60. That proposition would require those performers to use condoms on porn sets. Here's California Report's health reporter, April Domboski.
Adult performer Ella Darling says she always uses condoms in her personal life. But she says on set, they're really uncomfortable. They can cause rashes.
The sex that we have on camera isn't like the sex that you have at home. It's like Olympic-level athletic sex.
She says she feels totally safe relying on the industry's bi-monthly testing protocols. But Derek Burtz says they don't work.
You know, listen, I'm a living example that testing is not enough. It's not a form of prevention.
He says he contracted HIV while working in the porn industry.
The real protection comes from condoms. It's still the gold standard.
But performers and producers say Prop 60 would give anyone the right to sue them if the condom mandate wasn't being enforced. They say that could compromise their privacy. For the California Report, I'm April Domboski in Los Angeles.
Almost 20 years ago, in 1998, California voters got rid of existing bilingual education programs and immersed students in English. Now, Proposition 58 on the general election ballot would end the mandate for English-only education. And this would matter because a quarter of the school students in California speak a language other than English at home. As part of our California Counts election coverage, here's KPCC's Adolfo Guzman Lopez.
13 students work in groups of 4 and 5.
Sam has my hat.
Teacher Jenny Tan gives kindergarten-level lessons to fifth graders who've been in the U.S. less than a year. This is a newcomer's class at McKinley Elementary School.
Okay, let's read the direction together. Circle? What does circle mean?
Yes.
Did you hear that ticking? It's from an apple-shaped timer. It'll ring when it's time to move on to the next lesson.
The clock is ticking.
Principal Jim Simmons says it's a reminder that state law says these students will have to sink or swim in their main English-only classes next year. Many swim.
But there's some where that clock ticks and they're not ready yet to go into that main class, but the law requires us that we can't keep them in this program any longer than a school year.
Simmons says new research suggests those students would struggle less if teachers could use their native languages a lot more.
We could spend more time teaching them in their native language and working on that proficiency and getting to those higher level thinking skills. I think they'd be that much further ahead academically in that and be able to pick up English faster.
But that's currently prohibited by state law. In 1998, California voters passed Proposition 227, which required teaching these kids in English only.
Bilingual education is dead, and it's not coming back.
That's Ron Unz, the Silicon Valley entrepreneur who authored and funded the Prop 227 campaign.
The old system put hundreds of thousands, a good fraction of a million immigrant students in a program where they were not taught English as soon as they started school.
He's right. In the 1990s, many students did languish in ineffective bilingual programs. But instead of replicating good programs, Prop 227, for the most part, threw them all out. But now, times have changed.
Well, you can't be the fifth largest economy on earth and not understand that bilingualism is a huge advantage.
UCLA education researcher Marcelo Suarez Orozco says new brain research suggests Prop 227 was a detour to a dead end.
We can do both. We can chew and walk. We can keep the home languages. And at the same time, we can make the transition to English competence.
Suarez Orozco says some of the best bilingual teaching took place in dual immersion programs. And despite Prop 227's English-only mandate, dual immersion programs have been thriving in many schools. To participate, parents need to sign waivers yearly. McKinley Elementary started a dual immersion program 3 years ago. Principal Jim Simmons takes me on a tour.
So this is a kindergarten dual language, so dual immersion. So they're learning 90% in Spanish, 10% in English.
Here, there are no limits on the use of the foreign language.
Okay, ¿quién es?
Color.
¿Quién es? ¿Eres tú?
The hair.
¿Eres Owen?
Yeah.
This class is a mix of English learners and native English speakers. Simmons says the clock is not ticking on the newcomer students to learn English.
It's kind of the opposite theory. You know, this is, we're looking at the long-term picture of student achievement. The gains we're really not going to start seeing till the upper grades and into high school.
If Prop 58 erases bilingual education limits, he says, more schools in the area could start dual immersion programs and teachers could offer other students more help in the kids' native languages. Whether that happens or not will be up to voters in November. In Los Angeles, I'm Adolfo Guzman Lopez.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, dedicated to a healthcare system that works for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
I'm John Sepulveda, wishing you a great day. This has been the California Report for Tuesday, October 18th, a production of KQED Public Radio.